Well, good morning and happy Easter. Let me just pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, on this resurrection day, fill our hearts with joy at your new life and convict our minds of the truth and meaning of your rising from the dead. In your name we pray. Amen. Please do have a seat. And do keep Luke 24 open. You'll find it helpful, I'm sure. Now I wonder, what do you consider to be the most significant and momentous events in human history? Perhaps the invention of the wheel or the printing press or the discovery of penicillin or some other medical breakthrough, or maybe the landing of the first man on the moon, or perhaps the abolition of the slave trade, or maybe the fall of the Berlin Wall. There's no doubt they were all very important events with dramatic long-term consequences, mostly beneficial in all those cases. But it's fair to say that the events of the first Easter beat all of those hands down. You see, the first Easter day began as a day of sadness, but ended as one of celebration and salvation. It truly was, as Ken said just now, the greatest day in history. So we're going to look this morning at what Luke tells us about this amazing day. A day of sadness that became one of celebration and salvation. Firstly then, the sadness. Because humanly speaking, the first Easter Sunday was all set to be the conclusion of a very tragic tale. It got off to a sad start. We're told, aren't we, in our passage, that a group of bereaved women got up very early in the morning to anoint the body of an executed man, Jesus of Nazareth. A man who'd been killed by crucifixion at a tragically young age. A man who'd been innocent of any crime. A man who'd been executed under the orders of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, for reasons of political expediency rather than justice. A man who had been rejected by the Jewish religious authorities despite showing every sign of being their long-awaited Messiah and Lord. And of course, Jesus was a man who had even been abandoned by his closest friends in his hour of need. Even Peter, his closest companion, had denied knowing him. Only the women in this sad and tragic story seem to have stayed by Jesus to the end. The gospel accounts tell us that they were present at Christ's death and afterwards had prepared spices to anoint his corpse. And yet when they sadly trudged to the tomb that first Easter morning to anoint Jesus' body, they found that tomb empty and his body gone. It had been raised from the dead, of course, they later claimed. But why is their story to be believed? Is it history or merely myth? Well, in our reading this morning, I think Luke offers us three pieces of evidence to persuade us that Christ's tomb was really empty. Three reasons to believe he really had been raised. Firstly, in verse 3, we're told that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, when they went to the body, were quite clear that it had gone. There's no question that those women had gone to the wrong tomb or made some sort of mistake. In the previous chapter, just a couple of verses earlier, we're told that those same women had seen Jesus taken down from the cross and laid in that specific tomb. The women knew where Jesus' body could be found, or so they thought. And then in verse 12, Luke names another witness to the empty tomb. He tells us, doesn't he, that after hearing the women's report, Peter was so curious that he ran and went to Jesus' tomb. And he too found it empty inside. Only grave clothes remained as evidence of where Jesus' body had been. A historical detail, I think, designed to help us trust in the event's authenticity. those grave clothes were physical evidence that the empty tomb was no hallucination. And then thirdly and finally, Luke is honest enough to share with us the disciples' initial doubts. The women went to the tomb because, of course, they expected Jesus' body still to be lying there, dead. And the 10 disciples initially thought the resurrection news was nonsense. And even Peter could only wonder at what could explain the empty tomb. You see, these key first witnesses to the resurrection weren't expecting it to have happened. They weren't gullible people with a strong sense of wishful thinking, willing to believe anything on a whim. Confronted with the empty tomb, these first disciples were as initially sceptical as we might be today. You see, it was only when confronted with the whole weight of evidence for the resurrection that Jesus' friends had no option but believe. It was then that their time of sadness became one of celebration and salvation. For the women at the empty tomb, the clinching evidence for them seems to have been the words of the two angels who confronted them there. They appeared as two men wearing clothes that shone like lightning, we're told. And they put an end to the women's doubts by saying, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen." And the angels also reminded the women, didn't they, of the words of Jesus himself. Because on several occasions during his earthly ministry, Jesus had clearly predicted not just his death, but also his resurrection. Referring to himself, Jesus had said, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and then rise again." You see, from a human perspective, those events were sad and unforeseen, tragic even. But from a divine perspective, from God's eye view, they were purposeful and planned. They were absolutely necessary for the forgiveness of sins and the defeat of death. And over the next 40 days, Peter, the apostles, and as many as 500 others were able to meet the risen Jesus in person. They were able to see his pierced hands and feet and hear him speak fresh new words to them. Thomas was even allowed to touch his hands and side. These men and women no longer doubted the resurrection. They could celebrate and rejoice. Celebrate and rejoice in the knowledge that Jesus was alive. Their salvation was secure. So before I finish, what relevance has the resurrection then for us here today in 2017? Well, firstly, like Mary Magdalene, Peter and those other initial disciples, we too live in the real world, the physical world, the world of history. And as we remember the resurrection of Jesus this Easter morning, we should be reminded that the real world, our world, matters to God. The resurrection in particular shows that God has great plans for this material universe, this physical world in which we live and move. At the end of history, God will renew and resurrect the whole of creation, just as he renewed and resurrected Jesus' body on that first Easter morning. It was meant to be the first fruits, the foretaste of what God will do on a glorious and grand scale one day. Like Mary, Peter, and the other disciples, we also still live in a world of much sadness, a world characterized by much sin, suffering, and injustice. You only need to look at yesterday's news to be convinced of that. But the great news of Christ's death and resurrection is that such tragedies can and will be overcome and reversed. At the cross, Jesus did everything necessary for sins to be forgiven through faith in him. And by raising his son from the dead, God declared him to be the righteous and just Lord of the universe. We can be confident because of the resurrection that one day every human will be held to account before the risen Christ. One day Jesus will be able to right every wrong. A third and final implication of the resurrection is that, like Jesus' first followers, we too can experience an everlasting celebration. Because Jesus has conquered the grave, death has lost its sting. Like Jesus, every Christian can look beyond the grave, over the horizon of death, to a resurrected life, a risen life in a world to come. If we are in Christ, says the Bible, our lives here will have the happiest ending imaginable, a warm welcome into God's everlasting kingdom, a place where the celebration of his salvation will never end. So this Easter morning, I hope we can all share the same joy that those women experienced when they met those angels at the empty tomb. And like those women, let's not keep this great news to ourselves, but go out and tell all we know what wonderful things God has done. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you afresh this morning for your glorious resurrection. We thank you for the salvation it confirmed and secured. And may we live lives of joy and celebration. Help us to share the great news of our salvation with others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Firm in faith.